This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, we're back. Alan Ellis here, taking your emails. Thank you, Sharon from West Virginia, listening online. Transplanted Baltimore girl. We appreciate that. And what we're doing here is asking folks who listen online to just drop me a brief email. Just ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Just let me know you're listening, where you're listening from. And we're not going to do anything with your email address or anything like that. We're just going to say, we're just going to put that kind of in the data bank and say, it's nice to know that people are listening all over the state, all over the country. So, and Pat, I know you're listening online. So, you know, that's our producer. He's having a chat with Brian, the other producer. He's not listening to what we're saying in here. So, wonder how long I can talk about him before he actually picks his head up like he's paying attention. Well, that's not going to happen. Let's talk to Frank in East Baltimore. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Hi, Alan. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Oh, you struck a good nerve with me. I've been a deer hunter for years, and
okay.
I used to hunt up in Garrett County with my friend Bob. And I've been handicapped for the last 4 or 5 years, and Bob's kept me in deer meat.
I got you.
And I got him a nice brand new meat slicer.
Okay.
For for Christmas, and he passed before Christmas.
Oh man! So you got a meat slicer in the box.
I took it out of the box. It's still in the styrofoam.
Yeah, okay.
I got it sitting on the seat of a travel wheelchair I don't use anymore.
Okay.
But anyway, I was looking, you know, either to get break even on it or get somebody to swap me some deer meat from a freezer for it.
Oh.
And I heard you liked it so much, I didn't know if you'd be.
I do. I love deer meat. But I might be, yeah.
Else, you know?
Yeah, I think Pat got your numbers, didn't he?
Yes, I gave them both to him.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll tell you what. We'll put it out to our listeners if anybody wants a meat slicer. What do you have in it, Frank?
$89.
Okay.
I belong to a buyer's club, and I got it when it went all the way down.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty good price on one of those.
MSRP was around $400, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, cool.
You know, it's not a great big shop, one that you put in a shop.
No, uh-uh. No, but
it's a nice metal one.
I got you. Okay, cool. Do you have the brand name on it?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
That's all right. No problem.
I didn't open it up to interfere with anything.
No problem, man. No problem at all. All right, cool. Well, let's see what our listeners have to say, and I think there might be some deer meat sticking around somewhere in the freezer that we could have chat about if you'd like. So.
Yeah, because I used to make stew and roast all the time.
Oh, you know? Buddy, let me tell you what.
I miss the idea of having it sliced, you know, when you could have a really nice, you know, it's better than beef, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for the help.
So you like the chip, though. You like that, huh? To make a sandwich out of or something like that?
Yeah, I used to substitute it for a cream chip beef on breakfast.
That's good stuff. That is good stuff. All right. Cool, Frank. I appreciate that. Let me see what we can come up with here for our listeners. Anybody wants to buy a meat slicer or trade you for deer meat on it, we'll put that out there, and they can give us a call here, go on the line, and we'll see what we can do, okay?
Okay, that's great. God bless you, my friend.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate that. Same right back to you. Take care.
Okay, no.
Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM, 1-800-922-6680. My phone, folks, by the way, is missing. Now, I called the station on it this morning from my house. I unplugged it. It's plugged into a charger in the bedroom. I unplugged it. I called Brian and said, I'm on my way. And from there, I have no clue. I do not know where my phone got to. I tried calling it. I couldn't hear it ring. So for those of you, few friends that I call after the show, you might have to wait a few minutes till I get home and actually find my phone. I don't know if it's in the yard. I don't know if it's in the bedroom. I don't know if it's in the closet. I don't know if it fell in the coffee maker, but we'll find it eventually. But you can still talk to me without cell phone right here on the air, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. We'd like to hear from you about anything you're interested in talking about. You're kind of running the show here this morning, and we like hearing from those of you who are online listening to the Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com is the email address. Just drop me a quick email if you would, either now or after the show, just to let me know you're out there. So, as I mentioned, we do have hunting season coming up. Those of you who are buying your license online, we were talking to a retailer the other day, last Friday and Saturday, right, you know, right before hunting season, right in the heart of fishing season, 2 weeks before a holiday, people want to go fishing, people want to go hunting, they want to get their licenses. The new compass system went down statewide. Now, again, we've talked about this new system that it's a contract system that uses an outside source to issue your fishing or hunting license. It also issues your DNR ID card that you can use for future purposes. You now get your hunting license or your fishing license, not on official state paper, but on the whatever the bulk paper, the most inexpensive bulk paper your license retailer can give you. You know, 20-pound paper, and it prints it out, and there's your little paper license, and that's it. You sign it, you put your stamps on it, and you carry it with you. No card, no cardboard, just a piece of paper. If you go online, you can print it out on whatever stock you want to print it out on, and get your ID. I've actually gone and gotten one of those little laminating envelopes. I put my little card in there. I've laminated my hunter safety education card, my bow hunter education card, and my I don't laminate my qualification card, you know, every year, but I do laminate things that I'm going to keep for a long, long time. And I laminated my DNR ID card because you can use that. You can sign in to the Compass system with that, see every transaction you've made online over the last however long you've been buying your license online. But the thing went down. The thing went down. It was slow Friday a week ago. It was slow. It was taking forever to, you know, when you click on the next button and it takes you to another page so you can enter more information. Yeah, well, it wasn't doing that. Taking 4 or 5 minutes to click. And then it finally went down. People wanted to go fishing. People wanted to go fishing. So the dealer calls DNR. Hey, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do here? Well, we know the system's down. Just tell your people to go fishing anyway. there's got to be a better system, folks. There's got to be. A lot of this stuff is outsourced. You know, the Compass system is outsourced. It's a national company that handles a bunch of states. Now, that's outsourced. Your rule book for your hunting licenses is outsourced to save the state money. The publisher gets advertising dollars, tremendous money for advertising dollars, I might add, from folks in the state to print the magazine. And it gets that off the plate of people in the state. All they have to do is provide the regulations, and then everything else is outsourced. No ad money comes back to Maryland. No advertising dollars stay in the state. They all get shipped out. But hey, that's the way we do business now. As long as it saves the taxpayer money, we can send all that revenue out of state, and it doesn't matter just as long as the taxpayers aren't paying for it. Let's talk to Jack in East Point. Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Good morning, Alan.
What's up?
I got a question I want to ask you.
Please.
Some friends of mine was talking about the Obama administration, how he's now buying up the military spent brass and grinding it up and selling it overseas for a third of the price, where normally the companies would buy it here and sell it to the recreational shooters. Is that true?
There was something about that. I'm not sure if that's exactly the details and how that works. I'm not up to speed on that, but I can certainly try and find out for you, Jack. I do know there's something out there about military brass, and I don't know if that's where it goes, if it's ground up and sold overseas or not, but let me see what I can find for you. And I don't know if I'll have it by the end of the show, but I'll certainly look it up.
Okay, I got one more.
Try.
I don't know if it's a question or it's just something I can throw out there.
Yeah.
Some friends of mine, you know what a bridge net is, don't you?
Yeah.
Well,
a bridge net. That's what he said, folks. A bridge net. It's a circular net that gets lowered down over, like the Route 50 bridge in Ocean City, on a rope. If somebody catches a fish, they bring the fish to the bridge. They lower the bridge net down. They slide the fish over the rim of the net, into the net, and pull the net up so they can grab the fish. Right? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, yep.
Well, recently, 2 weeks ago, some friends of mine had trouble finding them.
Yeah.
One of my buddies took the front wheel of a bicycle, aluminum wheel, 26-inch wheel.
Yeah.
Cut the spokes out, and they used the rim because already had holes in it.
Yeah.
Out of that, and started paying that much money for it, and he spent a total of $16 for the net and everything, and he made himself a net.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, he told me about the one I got. I think I might go to it.
Well, you know, we read our smart, green, and growing tips, and I have a friend who took exception to me reading about using your used socks for dusting.
Uh-huh.
And not relating that to the outdoors. Now, he said, here's what I do. I have a garage full of stuffers. He said, I take my old socks, I fill them full of mothballs, I put them in the room with the stuffers, and it keeps the bugs from eating stuffers. So there's another good use for socks. What do you think?
That's a good idea, yeah.
Now, I've also talked to guys that use lady stockings or socks to put over the heads of their goose decoys, the flocked ones.
Uh-huh.
So they don't knock the flocking off.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
All kinds of good ideas. I like that bicycle rim idea for a bridge net, though. That's pretty good, Jack.
Yeah, I figure I'll throw it out for you.
And I'll check on the military brass for you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's talk to Mary in Columbia. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Hello, Alan.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Alan, I have a groundhog problem. I've had one for just about 40 years. I've lived in my home for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow is very big. Now, I can't believe there are so many calories in grass. I'm guessing he could weigh 30 to 40 pounds.
That's a big groundhog.
Yes, he is. Well, he's made a big hole under my porch. Actually, there are two holes, one on either side of my porch.
Sure.
So I don't know whether...
And he's not alone, Mary.
It must be a family. My neighbor, my next-door neighbor, mm-hmm. has seen a groundhog. I don't know whether it's the same one or I've got a little dynasty of groundhogs around here.
You may.
I'm not sure what to do about him.
There's a couple things. There's a couple things that you can do. Groundhogs are pretty susceptible to live trapping.
Okay.
So if you get yourself a live trap, you can do that. And I actually caught one in my yard this year. Cantaloupe works very well. So does cabbage. You set the live trap. Mm-hmm. You put some cabbage or some cantaloupe or something inside, and then, of course, you trail that out. So you set it, you know, away from the hole. It can be 5-10 feet away from the hole, but you want them to be able to smell that cantaloupe or that cabbage. They'll walk into the live trap, and you take care of them from there. Now, here's the dilemma. Once you trap an animal in Maryland, if it's a rabies vector species, which groundhog is, you have two options: euthanize it or release it back on site. So to catch it and release it doesn't even make sense. It has to be euthanized, shot, killed, whatever, however you want to say it. You're going to have a dead groundhog. You cannot take it off site and release it, according to the law, which is what people are doing, unfortunately.
Oh my goodness!
So the only other option is to have an animal damage control person come in and take care of that for you. And they will take it off site and euthanize it, or whatever. But what's happening around the state? Some of the animal control people are being called. They'll actually loan you a trap. But it's not their responsibility to come back and take care of the animal once you trap it. So you can take it to them and request that they euthanize it. If they will, you may have to pay a fee. Or you can call an animal damage control person and let them take care of it.
I'd rather do that.
So other than that, and that can be expensive. Yeah, I mean, some of these guys, just to come to your house and set the trap, you're looking at $200.
My goodness.
Yep. So, as you said, I have a groundhog problem. You do have a problem, mm-hmm. and the only way to deal with it is gonna cost you some money.
So, if I have more than one, it's gonna
Yeah, I mean, normally they'll do $250 a day, and then you know, once they get set up, it's a fee, you know, per day. Some people do it per animal. It's an interesting situation, but the lot of them will handle it. But knowing the law, the way it reads, because groundhogs, raccoons, foxes, skunks, and I believe opossums are rabies vectors, which means there's high risk for rabies. That is the law with those. You cannot catch and release them. You know, take them down to the local reservoir and turn them loose.
I didn't know that.
Now you do.
Okay.
That's why you called me. All right. Mary, leave your number with Pat, would you?
Yes, I will.
All right. Pat will pick up the phone. He's going to put you on hold. I'll get your number, and we can talk off the air, okay?
Thank you, Alan.
You're welcome. All right. Let's see who's next. John in Baltimore wants to talk about brass. Yes, John, go ahead.
Yes, sir. The fellow that called you about the email he got about the brass going around.
Yeah, what's going on?
All right. What happened was I got the email, and I sent it out to everybody, and a friend of mine sent it back to me and said it was not true, and it was a lie. Snoop's lied or something.
No, hold on.
What?
There is so much stuff out there on the internet.
I know.
And it's called Snopes, www.snopes.com.
Right.
That is the people who verify all this email stuff that circulates everywhere.
Well, let me finish telling you.
You were making a statement. I'm just trying to put that out there for our listeners for good information. So, go ahead.
Thing of it was, all right, so I forget the name of the company that they named, but I called them directly.
Right.
And the person I talked to said it was true. President Obama, when he first got into office, he tried to put this through as to do this with all the brass.
Right.
And she said it was such an outcry that they canceled it. So it was true, but there was so much outcry that he canceled that what he was going to do collecting this brass. But also what I want to tell you, too, that you can't believe everything that Snoop says. That's been proven that they have lied about different things. So I just want to let you know about that.
So now you're saying that the people that verify this stuff are liars.
Well,
so now what do we? Now what do we do?
Well, that I don't know. But on a lot of cases now, it's been talked about on radio before about. George Soros is part of Snoop's.
Oh, something else you read on the internet.
No. This was on the radio.
Uh-huh.
He is connected with Snoop's. And it's been proven that Snoop's doesn't always give you the right answer.
And where was this proven?
Huh?
Where was this proven?
Well, on this email that I got about the brass.
So again, on email,
yeah,
on the internet, it was proven that Snopes is
I'm not saying it did that email proved it, but that is one of the things that Snopes came back and said it was a lie. It wasn't true, but it wasn't a lie. It was the truth. Obama tried to put this thing through.
Uh-huh.
So I just, you know.
Well, I see what you're saying. I understand that. All right, now, let's see.
Because I talked to the people directly that was affected by this thing.
Okay, well, I understand that, and I appreciate you checking in with that, John.
Okay, no.
Very much. Take care.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680. We have to take a break right now. So we do, don't we? Yep, we've been talking to folks, and we enjoy it, but we do have to pay the bills here sometimes. So I want to tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, from now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing a tagged rockfish named Diamond Jim. He's worth $25,000 right now, and he's swimming in Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but they're worth a minimum of $500. Now, if you catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, call the number on the tag, you may just have captured a $25,000 prize. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's pretty much that easy. It is. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish, over 80 categories of fish in Maryland that qualify for citations. All you have to do is check with your local citation center, fishing citation center, and you could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, trailer, rig from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in tackle from the World Fishing Network, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. DNR.maryland.gov. You might want to check that through Snopes, but I'm pretty sure it's DNR.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, honoring our own Lefty Cray and featuring Diamond Jim. Now, along with that, and we'll take a little sidestep here, and we'll talk about Jay Bernstein and Erica Zagalo and Kaylin Zagalo and James Wilkerson and Davis Riley have all caught red drum. They qualified. Justin Leopold and Terry Leopold. Justin caught a yellow perch. Terry caught a white perch. Nice fish. Scott Williams of Stevensville, 45-inch striped bass. Feldy Suito from Clarksburg, a 21.5-inch largemouth bass. Garrett Taylor from Edgewater. Red Drum. Butch Sample from Essex, a flounder, 26-inch flounder. Charles Threlfall from North Beach, a 23-inch largemouth bass. Gene Stalls from Bishopville, 25.75-inch flounder. Tim Karpaczynski from Orchard Beach caught a blue crab, 9 inches. We know about that one. Tyler Lambden of Baltimore, blue marlin, 84 inches. Anthony Lazadon of Churchton, a red drum. Candy Lath caught a largemouth, 24 inches, and a 22-inch smallmouth. Big fish. Walterine Thomas from Arnold, a white perch, and Keith Wolf, a white marlin, and Brian and Darren Zagowski from Annapolis both caught red drum, and Frank Rotundo from Stevensville caught a yellowfin, 68-inch yellowfin, and Tracy Norris of Lexington Park caught a 13-inch white perch. All these folks will be at Sandy Point, or will be invited to Sandy Point to take part in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Don't forget, Diamond Jim for August, $10,000 bonus, $1,000 gift certificates from tackle stores around the region. Let me tell you who they are. Clyde Sports Shop, Tochterman's, Herb's Tackle, All Tackle, Fishbones, and Marty's are all kicking in a $1,000 gift card to whoever catches the $25,000 August Diamond Jim. I guess I better tell the folks about Sean Mann with goose season right around the corner. Sean Mann. SeanMann.com. SeanMann.com. If you would like to learn how to call geese, I would recommend you start with a Sean Mann Eastern Shoreman Goose Call. Very easy to operate. It does reproduce all the sounds of a Canada goose. Sean Mann is world champion, champion of champions, became world champion in Maryland a couple times, 1985, and developed this goose call called the Eastern Shoreman from listening to, guess what, geese on Maryland's Eastern Shore. There have been many varieties of it. From SeanMann.com in a variety of different woods and finishes and things like that. They come in a camo model. They come in a black model. They come in wood models. Anything to fit your price range. Visit the website, SeanMann.com, or call the office, 800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. You can talk to someone there about either hunting with Sean if you want, or any of the goose, duck, or waterfowl calls, snow goose calls, or anything else from SeanMann.com. We recommend it. We like Sean. He's a good friend. And you'll enjoy learning how to use an Eastern Shoreman goose call. Once you learn how to use it, you'll really enjoy it, even though the geese won't.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Joan Jones. The modern home is spacious, open, airy, gleaming, and noisy. Trendy open floor plans where rooms are not separated by walls mean voices carry. Granite countertops and ceramic tile and hardwood floors also amplify sound. Modern mechanical systems, including powerful range hoods over big gourmet stoves, can be deafening. Architects say that homeowners often focus on looks and ignore acoustics. That's why interior designers are coming up with a host of solutions to create temporary nooks while keeping a big open feel in a room. Shades are getting a new look as slick-looking screens offering homeowners a way to create makeshift enclosures. Skyline gliding fabric panels made by window shade manufacturer Hunter Douglas slide on a track to divide a room. Sales have grown 40% in the past year. And Newell Rubbermaid increased the number of fabrics in its Levelor panel track line. The company's forecasting a 30% increase in sales. I'm Joan Jones with the Wall Street Journal.
This is my parents' Mercedes M-Class. And one day, I'll drive my kids to school in it.
Don't look now, but someone else just may have their sights set on your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And who could blame them? After all, every one of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes a rigorous inspection by factory-trained technicians to ensure it meets the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And considering we invented the automobile, those standards are indeed high.
I might even drive them the long way to school.
Plus, every one comes with a warranty and roadside assistance for up to 5 years and 100,000 total miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius satellite radio. Come in for exceptional financing on our certified pre-owned vehicles today. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned. Today could be the day you get not only the car you've wanted.
And no way am I letting my kids put their feet on the seats.
But the car they'll start wanting.
See dealer or call 1-800-FOR-MERCEDES for complete program, including certified pre-owned, limited warranty, and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Come on, let's hear it. Let's see here. Let's talk to Steve in Pasadena. Thanks for holding through the break, Steve. I appreciate it.
Okay, Alan, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
All right. I had a little question. Maybe you can enlighten it. The state of Maryland this year now wants your Social Security number when you get your hunting license.
That's correct.
I don't see why they need that.
Well, what that does is that gets you in the system. And
your driver's license number always got you in this.
That's correct. That has partially to do with the federal fisheries program where your fishing license is part of your I wish I could explain it quickly here better, but there's a federal registry for saltwater fishing. And your fishing license includes that fee when you purchase a Maryland Chesapeake Bay license. In other words, rather than buy a separate saltwater license, the federal part of that registration program is included in your Maryland license. That was enacted into law about 3 years ago. As far as the hunting license part, well, when they switched over to the Compass system, that's the only way that the dealers would be able to finish completing your licenses. I don't agree with it. Never did agree with it. If you have a driver's license, there's no reason that you need to give your Social Security number. But you need.
Right. My thoughts were with all the identity theft.
Of course. And you know,
your driver's license, your social security.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. But you know,
my card actually says right on it, you know, for tax purposes only, not to be used for identification.
Right. I know. So does mine. I understand that. Unfortunately, that's just the way our lives are these days. I'm not defending it, but you know, if you want to buy a fishing or hunting license, and you don't want to give your Social Security number to the dealer because of the exposure there, you can always go online and get it. But you know, the same thing,
right.
giving your Social Security number to some anonymous source online. I don't like it, and I don't see any reason for it. But the other part of that explanation was, and we got Marty Gary on the line, maybe he can help us out. The other part of that is, you know, if you owe back taxes, if you owe child support, if you owe something to the state, they're going to be able to track you through your fishing or hunting license sale. They may not be able to track you through your driver's license for some God knows unknown reason. So,
right.
But, that's the story.
Well, I just want to make all the listeners aware of it.
Well, yeah, well, we've talked about this when the system came out. By the way, I mentioned the system was down, I believe, last weekend for 2 days. People couldn't buy a fishing or hunting license. By the way, if you're planning to purchase your licenses this weekend, please do so as our... Wait a minute. Listen to this. This is an alert on the DNR website. Listen how well this is written. Anglers and hunters! Exclamation point. If you are planning to purchase your license this weekend, please do so, as our compass system will be unavailable from 8 a.m. to 12 noon this Sunday, August 26, 2012, for scheduled maintenance. Do you understand that?
I guess you can't buy it.
No, well, no, I guess not from Sunday, not Sunday from 8 a.m. to noon.
But they're telling you to buy it this weekend.
But buy it this weekend. During this four-hour window, licenses will not be available for issuance at our sport license agent locations, toll-free call center, and our website. Thank you for your patience as we work to keep Compass highly available. I'm critical of this Compass system. I really am. I mean, it works. It works okay when it works. And I bought my license through it, and you can go back in with your DNR ID and check all your transactions. I mean, I've been buying my licenses online for a couple of years and, you know, applying for bear permit and everything else. But, I mean, when you got 21-year-olds writing press releases, you got to check how the thing sounds. That's all I got to say about it.
Right.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Okay, I'm
all right, buddy. Thank you. And, whoops, there he goes. Thank you for the call. Keep those emails coming, folks. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. We got Marty Gary on the line. Marty, I'm critical of the Compass system.
Well.
Marty, how are you? Alan Ellis. Welcome, Marty Gary.
What a great entry point.
Oh, yeah. I love doing that to you. Sorry.
That's all right. I've handled my share of calls during this, call it whatever you'd like to, the growing pains we're going through with it.
Yeah, what's going on with the Compass system being down all weekend last week?
You know, it's a technical side that neither myself or you or your previous caller.
Well, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a national system that's been contracted by our state, right?
I don't have that level of detail. It's a system built specific for us. It may be modeled from a national system that other agencies are using, but I'm not familiar with it in that much detail.
See, I thought it was another outside contractor, but maybe I'm incorrect on that. So
yeah, this whole thing has to do with
on the hunting end of it, on the hunting side, and that's not your area. I clicked on the I went to the regulations the other day, and I clicked on what's new, and it took me directly to the Tennessee Fish and Game Department for what's new in their hunting season. So that's why I'm thinking it might have been a contractor involved with this that handles license sales on a national basis, but maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm just ignorant.
Well, you know, it is though the technology thing. When it works, like you said earlier,
yeah,
it's good. But when it doesn't, it's...
Yep. And was I correct on the federal part of that requiring your Social Security number?
The the Social Security number, the real basis is a statute that has tied into child support,
right,
and possibly alimony, but it's actually tied into a whole suite of different licenses that can be purchased, and the whole idea is that if somebody were deficient in their child support, they wouldn't have the privilege of purchasing these various
licenses. I see. So you owe back child support.
Yeah, so it isn't just fishing
license. You owe back child support, yeah, and you want to buy a fishing license. Mm-hmm. They're not going to let you buy a fishing license until you pay your child support.
Exactly. And that statute is somewhere back around 2001 or 2002. We actually, in the old COIN system prior to COMPAS, were supposed to be compliant with that law and collecting the Social Security number long before now, back to, like I said, 2001 or 2002.
I knew it had something to do with back child support or back taxes or something like that.
Right.
So I guess they figure that even deadbeats will be compelled to buy a license, especially if they want to go fishing. So what's that say about the... I'm not going to get into that philosophical argument with you.
I don't know. We didn't ask for it. We got it.
Yeah, I hear you.
But the you know, the old system, the old COIN system, was unable to even collect it. So we were non-compliant with state law.
Right, right. I remember when they introduced that, and can't remember the name of the official that introduced it. I could call his name, but I didn't want to embarrass him. But when they introduced the old COIN system, they assembled the outdoor writers, and I was in the meeting, and this is the greatest new whiz-bang system on a computer. You can buy your license, and here's how it works. And they didn't know how to turn the thing on in Annapolis. So.
And we couldn't comply with our own state law.
And they had to call a tech in to turn the system on to demonstrate it for the outdoor writers.
Well, and now we're on to COVID.
Yeah. Let's talk about the fishing challenge. I'm tired of this conversation.
Sure.
So we've got some diamond jimfish hanging out there in the wind. You've got some polygraphs that you need to conduct this week, huh?
Yeah, we do. We've got three, so it got exciting. We didn't, again.
Now, that's five have already been confirmed, right? And maybe one of those is the July diamond jim.
Correct. Four are known imposters. One is the July diamond jim. It slipped in right at the very end.
Maybe, right?
Yeah, right, maybe.
Yeah.
And it looks like we may not break that envelope until the final award ceremony.
I think that's the greatest idea I ever heard. I wouldn't know why you would.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have some kind of suspense, right?
Well, we'll have it, because if one of these other folks who caught one this past week, I think I might have slipped you a little note saying that we've also got an August fish.
Right.
That passes a polygraph.
Right.
That would mean then we'd have to define what happened to the Troy Linderburn, who's the individual from Pasadena who
caught
in July, and then his outcome, of course, will determine what happens to the August fish.
Well, now that's a very good question. What happens if the July fish was caught and it's worth $20,000? Then what happens in August if somebody catches the fish that was designated to be the $25,000 winner in August?
Yeah, the August diamond jim would then have a value of $10,000.
But you do have a contingency plan that it drops back to $10,000.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's actually been in place.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I remember that. But yeah, okay. So you may have a $20,000 winner. You may have a $10,000 winner. You may not have either one. That's where the drama is. And these eight people who have caught fish, maybe nine or ten by the end of this week, you never know, could be splitting that $25,000 prize.
Absolutely. You can be nailed it.
Or you could have your first monthly giant diamond jim actual winner.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's going to be that part is going to be fun. We're going to have another, at least, like you said, possibly eight people up on the stage, maybe more.
Right, exactly. Good. Good for them.
So they're catching them out there. It's interesting. You know, when we first started it, folks were saying, oh, you can never catch these things.
Yeah.
Catch them.
Well, the more they catch, the more excitement there is about the contest, the more news it makes, and the more people want to go fishing, which is what the whole plan is.
Yeah, it looks like the number of citations has ramped up a little bit here. I don't know whether the fishing just got a little bit better.
I think the preponderance of red drum had something to do with that.
Yes, the infamous red drum.
The infamous red drum. Where'd they come from, Marty? Does anybody know?
Well, you know, the 26 years, I've remarked about this probably a half dozen times in the last few weeks to people, Alan. Not that I'm the most experienced person down at DNR, but I've been around for now 26 years, and I can recall certain summers where we caught these juvenile red drum, but never at this level of magnitude.
Oh, you ought to hear it. You ought to hear it at the show. You ought to hear him talking about it down in Southern Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both sides of the bay. I mean, I hear about it from anywhere I go, from, you know, Cambridge to Hooper's Island to you know, Southern Maryland. I mean, apparently they're everywhere.
Exactly. I know on, you know, you look at the spreadsheet that you have on week to week, it, you know, they're popping up above the Bay Bridge. I'm still trying to figure out the northernmost spot. I thought one week I thought we had one up near the Middle River area.
That's possible, yeah.
Yeah, so it's you know, it certainly has something to do with the increased salinity level, I'm sure, to some extent, as far as, you know, the distribution where we're finding them, far north as we're finding them. But same time, this must have been just a huge year class of fish. That, you know, you're seeing a few different sizes, but a lot of them are in that, I guess, 9 to 14 inch range.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's interesting, but you know, we're going to go ahead and, you know, and patch that up. We have a lot of people who got awards for small fish.
Yeah, well,
which that wasn't the intention. But
I know, I understand that, but it is what it is at this point. So let's let me take a break, Marty, and come back and tell me about the new free fishing areas in Ocean City.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, very good. We'll put you on hold. Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex Spray-On Bedliners of Glen Burnie. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, the only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie, proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty like I have in my truck. Linex bedliners completely seal out water and rust. They have a durable non-slip surface. They reduce noise and vibration. Linex bedliners resist most chemicals, fuels, and acids, protect against impact, and they clean up like new at your local car wash. Now, the Linex Extra is fortified. That's a bedliner fortified with DuPont Kevlar, and it utilizes your paint code on your truck, your vehicle, to match the bedliner to your vehicle, if that's what you want, rather than the standard, you know, black bedliner. All right, so you got that available out there. If you want a, you know, if you want a pink bedliner, you can get one. And you know what? It also helps to provide Kevlar protection to your truck bed. So protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online at baylinex.com. Don't forget they have a mobile service, too. They can come to your house or your business or your farm and protect your trailers and your underground tanks and your secondary containment and all that with the proper Linex coating. Call Bobby Hawkins, 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Find out how you can receive a Bass Pro Shop gift card from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie when you mention Ellis Outdoors or the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Yep, you'll be glad you did. Now, I'll tell you about Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Fishbones at 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. Their phone number is 410-360-0573. Their name says it all. Bait and tackle. That's what they sell for fishing and crabbing, and they have those great crab steamers, too. The stainless steel, they come with a basket and a lid. They have Fishbone's name on the top of them. They're absolutely the last crab steamer you'll ever need to buy. They're heavy duty. They come in three sizes, half bushel, bushel, and bushel and a half. Check it out at Fishbone's Bait and Tackle. You'll be glad you did. 410-360-0573. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. Hit Mountain Road, head towards Gibson Island, 2.5 miles on the right-hand side beside the Shell station is Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Proud to have them as a sponsor, the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And another sponsor, downtown Baltimore, that we like talking about and love talking about and love going in there is Tochterman's Fishing Tackle and Fly Shop right there in downtown Baltimore. 1925 Eastern Avenue, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway in Fells Point. 1,000 fishing rods, 700 fishing reels. Absolutely the world's biggest selection of fishing tackle in a small package for the bay, for bass fishing, for panfish, for offshore, for surf casting, fly fishing, and the experts to go along with that. You want to talk about bass? Talk to Gene. You want to talk about fly fishing? Talk to Joe. You want to talk about travel? Talk to Jim. You want to talk to, about offshore? Talk to McCabe. They've got everything. They can re-spool your reel. They can fix your rod. They can, you know, clean your fishing reels. They do it all with all the tackle for every type of fishing. They're all fishing all the time. And the greatest bloodworms in the solar system. 410-327-6942. 410-327-6942 for Tochterman's Bait and Tackle, 1919-1925, Eastern Avenue, Baltimore. First choice for fishermen in Baltimore and around the world since 1916. Same family name, same location.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Well, we didn't get into the song, but that's a little collage from Hank Jr. We got another call, another email. We got a couple of them here. Gary from, where's Gary? He's in Millersville listening online. We've got John from York, Pennsylvania listened on the WCBM on the iPhone. And we got Tom from Columbus, Ohio listening online. So thanks for everybody for your emails. Keep them coming. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. We like hearing from you. We want to know where you're listening. What do you think about that, Marty? We got West Virginia and Ohio right now and a bunch of Marylanders.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a great spread you've got on your
yeah, website. We like it. And the website's about I've seen some of the changes on the website. We've got one of those, you know, trial pages up, so we're going to change that website around a little bit, make it more user-friendly and happier for everybody. So I'm liking what I'm seeing, and we're going to introduce that in the next couple of weeks. So, yep. So what's up, Marty? I mean, Ocean City, what's going on in Ocean City?
Yeah, we've it was a long time in the making, but after a lot of public input and getting some input from the tackle stores, town of Ocean City, and local citizenry there, we've established two free fishing areas.
Okay.
So those are areas that if you're 16 years of age or older, where normally you have to have a Chesapeake Bay Coastal Sport license, you can fish for free.
Right.
And the purpose of those areas, historically, we have others around the Chesapeake, Alan.
Right.
Historically, they were created in economically disadvantaged areas.
Right.
You know, for subsistence fishing and whatnot.
We wouldn't call Ocean City exactly that, would we?
Yeah, no. So you got to swing around the other end of the spectrum. So the real reason for the creation of these places are for folks, and this is geared to adults because that's who we're exempting, but those folks that are fishing with their kids that might, we're down for Ocean City for a week, and let's see, what could we do? Fishing. Oh, we need to buy a fishing license. Well, if they're hedging because maybe they've got to buy a license for one day, this is an opportunity to get a little taste of it, a little exposure to it with their kids.
So hook them and reel them in, basically.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Where are these sites located, Marty? We're fast approaching the hour here.
Two sites.
Okay.
Two sites. One is up at the north end of town at Northside Park.
Northside Park. Okay.
Yep. And there's a long fishing pier there, plenty of room for folks to spread out on. And then the other one's down at the other south end of town, just a block or two above the Route 50 bridge on the bayside.
Okay.
At Chicago Avenue.
Chicago Avenue. Now, that's a promenade, right?
Yes, there's a little boardwalk there that runs. It's very nice and great condition, well lit.
And that's on Cinepucks and Bay, however you say it, between 2nd and 5th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Handicap accessible?
And it's handicap accessible and has fish cleaning stations.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. They're very different places, Alan. The one in the southern area is adjacent to the channel, and there's good fishing there.
It's
something that the one at the north side is more geared, I think, toward younger children. So if you're a mom or dad that has a child that's like 5, 6 years old, it's probably a little bit better spot to get out there and
catch some croakers and some sea robins and that kind of stuff, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, 125th Street at Assawoman Bay at Northside Park. And you said it is a long pier, and that's great. I mean, you can teach a kid to cast out into the bay there pretty easily from land, is what you're telling me, right?
Exactly. And you could get 30 or 40 families out there. That pier is huge.
Right.
So it's a great spot to bring younger and beginner.
But now. Now, you mentioned that it's free, but anybody over 16 does need to register, and they can register online, right?
Very good point. Yeah, we still have to comply with the National Saltwater Angler Registry, which you had mentioned before.
So right.
Maryland has set up a free registration. It's through the Compass portal.
Right.
So you just need to go in and go ahead and sign up and then print that out and bring that with you.
Bring it with you. So it's... there's no www. It's https://compass.dnr.maryland.gov/dnrcompassportal. And let me ask you, is that easily accessible off the fisheries page?
It is. There's two links off the fisheries page,
good.
One on the right and one on the left.
Good. Very good. Just not between 8 a.m. and noon tomorrow, right?
Apparently not.
I just had to get that in, Marty.
I know.
All right. Hey, buddy, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, Marty. One more week to go in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Make sure you visit your local citation center or go to dnr.maryland.gov for all the information. Marty Gary from Maryland DNR, thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to him later. Now it's time for us to get out of here. Keep those emails coming. We want to know where you're listening. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. If you're listening online, just drop us a brief email. We've got about 7 or 8 of them here on this.